recognizing that there is no greater privilege than that we, being called the children of God, get to stand before God and to offer praise and worship back to Him. It was good this morning. It was good to sing together. It was good to praise together, to worship together. And I believe that if you did that this morning from the bottom of your heart, that truly God is blessed by our worship and our praise. That is His desire that we do that for Him. So I count it a privilege this morning again to be able to share the word with you. And it's in humility that I recognize the responsibility that weighs on me again this morning to preach the word and to do it in such a way that it does not hinder the Spirit of God. My ultimate desire this morning is that you will be able to see God in the words that are shared. Get me out of the way. I don't want to stand in the way of you hearing and experiencing God speaking to you, because that's what it's about. That's what we're here for this morning. We have come together not just to sit on comfortable chairs and to talk to each other, but to interact with God. And we do that when we hear His word, when we sing together, when we pray together, and when we talk to each other. We honor God in doing that. So it's my desire to bring the glory of God, that the glory of God will not be affected by what I say this morning, but be able to lead. I do take it seriously, because I know that when we open the Word of God, that Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He has come to take away the words. He has come to steal the words that are spoken. He has come to twist the words that are heard. And so this morning, I invite you to join me in prayer and ask that God protect the words and the ears that hear the words. Join with me. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to have your written word, the apostolic written word that we can open up and we can look at this morning and we can give you praise and give you honor, give you glory, Father, because you alone are worthy. There is no other. So, Father, I invite you this morning to protect the words that are spoken and to protect the words that are heard, that the enemy would not be able to destroy them. Father, if there is a deceiving, lying spirit present, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take authority and drive that out, that this place this morning, the words would be pure and undefiled. So, Father, we give this time, the word, and the hearing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled the sermon this morning, Perfect Peace. Not just peace, perfect peace. And you can turn with me to Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. This is a topical sermon this morning, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the text itself, but I do want you to look at and to see the scripture itself as it is written, because it's a promise, and I believe that we are called to be people who are of perfect peace. Ray was teaching the Sunday school class this morning, and he started by talking about the effect that it has on the people and the culture around us when we, as people of God, if we are able to live as people who are truly experiencing perfect peace. And I venture to guess this morning that as we sit here in this room, that there may be those among us that are not experiencing perfect peace. And I know that all of us at one time or another have gone through life where we have not experienced perfect peace. And I would like us to look at the scriptures again and to understand that God has made a promise. He's made a promise that if we will do this, we will be able to be kept in perfect peace. Let me read Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. Again, not just peace, but perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Hallelujah. That is not just a careless word that is written. It is a promise of the Word of God. It is a promise from God, the Creator, the one who made you, the one who made me, and the one who oversees everything in your life and my life. It is not just happenstance. The things that happen to us in life and that we are just somehow out here in this here universe where there is no divine intervention into our lives. But the God of gods, the God of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, says that you can have perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Karen and I took this sabbatical and we went into it not knowing exactly what all that we would experience in this here time of just getting away. And I want to say right from the beginning that peace is not found in the absence of conflict. Do not miss throughout this whole sermon that here is the key, that peace is not found only, let me rephrase that, peace is not found only in the absence of conflict. Because you and I know that the world that we live in, the lives that we live, the things that we experience in life, there are the opportunity, there is the potential to be conflict in almost every day and in every situation, everything we experience in life. As some of you know, we gave Louis a new home. Louis no longer is with us. And so I will not have Louis' stories to tell. Louis could not come to a perfect peace in our home, so we found another home for Louis. He is on a farm somewhere chasing mice, which he thoroughly enjoyed doing. That's where Louis is at this time, and I know no more than that. So we had a little bit of adjustment, Karen and I, to getting used to the idea, even though he was, just like I said, he was not a peaceful being. So we found him a new home. Karen and I, soon after we started our sabbatical, we decided to go to Sarasota, Florida, to find peace. Rethink that one. We found other areas that we sought to find peace. We took a camper towards the end of our sabbatical. We took a camper up to Pine Creek and Petticoat Junction, and we set up there and beside the creek, and I know it's full of fish, and I am just driven to fish. There's something God created in us to fish. If you're suppressing that, that's between you and God. But anyway, we sat up there, and I went and bought some firewood. And this is a most peaceful setting. The water's rushing by, and the mountains, and the weather was perfect. There was no bugs, and I decided to light a campfire. Well, this wood that I bought, I don't know if it was just a green tree that they cut up or what, but nothing short of using a blowtorch on it would light that wood. And all of a sudden, the circumstance started to affect my peace. Got the fire lit, but it was smoky, and it wasn't peaceful. So we did some things like that. One of the things that we found, and I want to challenge you. We go to Sarasota, we go to Pine Creek, we go to Perry County, we go to Juniata County to find peace. And probably the most peace that Karen and I found was sitting right on our deck. We had the perfect accommodations, a bed that was perfect for us. We had our own coffee maker. We had the privilege of going in and out, and I don't really understand the going away to find peace. Try it sometime. If you have a porch, If you have a deck or if you have a tree, take some time, stop, and sit under it and let God speak to you. Our relationship was enriched sitting on the deck. And it didn't take a whole lot to do it. It didn't cost us anything. Sitting on the deck, talking to each other. There's some deer started to come out in the field right below us. They're eating the new clover, and birds of all kinds, the feeder. God just spoke to us in that very simple way. But I'm here to talk to you this morning about a perfect peace that is not found in the bad, or it's not found in our circumstances, whether good or bad. There is a perfect peace that is promised if our minds are stayed on Him. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. There's a quote, I want to be so anchored in Christ that the chaos around me does not cause chaos within me. And it's unknown. The author was not listed. I want to be so anchored in Christ that the chaos around me does not cause chaos within me. And I know that I'm talking to people this morning who have experienced chaos and experience it sometimes on a regular basis. Then more than ever, when we are in those times, is when we need to stop and ask the Lord to fill us with that perfect peace while we fix our minds on Him instead of everything that is going on, which can so clutter the mind that we forget. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Until we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we will not understand the green pastures and the still waters. Until we surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus, until we surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that what is happening to me is under the control of the Almighty. Till I surrender my life, myself, my being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I will not have peace. Amen? Amen? You know it. You've been there. You've experienced it. Until I surrender, I will not find that peace. Isaiah 26:3 teaches that a perfect peace is a divine promise for those who intentionally fix their minds on God. Who intentionally fix their minds on God. Let me tell you a story. Growing up, we had some riding horses, and the first horse that we got was a quarter horse that was black and white. Her name was Dolly. Dolly was had a personality that was quite interesting. She loved to be in the meadow, in the green pastures, and there was a creek that ran through our meadow there at where we grew up. And Dolly loved nothing more than to be in that pasture. In fact, when you would come to try and take Dolly out of the pasture, she would rear up on her hind legs with her ears pinned back and paw at you. So you had to be really careful when you came to take her out of the meadow. That was her place, and she loved it there. One day, a hot air balloon floated across her perfect green pasture and still water. And Dolly took off across the meadow, and she leaped over the fence. And the top strand of it was that chicken wire fence, and the top strand was barbed wire, and she didn't get her hind leg over the wire, and it caught and it cut her muscle there on the wire as she jumped over the fence. Well, it took a long time to heal that. It was a mess. The point of this story this morning is, if our mind is stayed on the shepherd, then we'll be at perfect peace in green pastures, beside the still waters. And no matter what happens, no matter what startles us, no matter what frightens us, we will not take our eyes off the shepherd. And if we take our eyes off the shepherd, we will not be at peace. And I ask you this morning, is there a hot air balloon in your life that has you, caused you to take your eyes off the shepherd? It has you running scared, leaping fences, injuring your spiritual body, when the perfect peace that God promised for you is right there just waiting for you. Is there a hot air balloon that you've got your eyes on that's causing you to run, causing you to not see the green pasture, the still water? Where your shepherd is. The relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is a very intimate relationship. It is much a hands-on relationship. But the shepherd cannot care for a sheep that is constantly running away from him and fighting him and does not submit to the care of the good shepherd. The good shepherd cannot lead us beside still waters in the green pasture if we kick and fight, if we are not at peace. He can't lead us. So when a statement is made by a man or a woman, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is simple yet profound statement. It is. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That doesn't mean I'm not going to want anything. I think a more accurate interpretation, which I read in this book I read, more accurate interpretation is that I shall not want another shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want another one." Is that you this morning? Do you really, really grasp that the Lord is your shepherd and there is no need for another one? When you understand that the Lord is your shepherd, then you will be at peace, a perfect peace. John 14, 27, and I'm going to be reading a number of different verses, and you don't need to follow after, because as I said, I'm not going to stick to just the text here, but there are a lot of other verses that speak to peace. John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Here's a quote from Alistair Begg. "It is the cross alone that ultimately proves the love of God to us, not the providential circumstance of our life. We must not allow ourselves to be tricked into thinking that if things are going well with us, then we can be sure of God's love. Don't be tricked into thinking that when things go well with us, that we can be sure of God's love. For life can often seem dark and painful. Things do not always go well for us. Rather, we look to the sacrifice of the cross and the demonstration God gave there of his love. This is the proof I need. This is the truth that I need to hear if the lie is to be dispelled. Is the truth of God's love was demonstrated to me when he gave his son to die for you and me on the cross. Hallelujah. There need be no other. There need to be nothing else that tells me that God loves me. It is not in that things always go well that is saying that God loves me. But he said it when he gave his son to die on the cross for you and me. Hallelujah. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Chris Nisley sent me a quote this week. It says, "When we leave everything in God's hands," "When we leave everything in God's hand, eventually we will see God's hand in everything." If we leave everything in God's hand, eventually you'll see his hand in everything. It may not look that way now. It may not look that way at the moment. If we were to take a poll to identify what people want most in life, these are some of the things that I think you would find what their hopes and dreams revolve around. These are some things: good health, financial prosperity, positive relationships, rewarding work. And who could argue with any of these things? Those are good things. Those are things that any of us would desire, would want. Not a question. Who wouldn't want all those things? But there's a more fundamental need, a deeper desire, a desire for peace. There is a deeper desire for peace that lies within all of us. When we're not at peace, then we seek peace. When we make preparation throughout life to make sure that things don't happen that cause us to not be at peace, that are disturbing or are not, or a conflict. Think, why do you diet? Why do you watch what you eat? Why do you try to maintain a healthy life? It's so that you don't have to deal with or don't have the loss of peace with the loss of health. So we're careful. Why do you think it is that we plan and we prepare and we try and find a job that's going to support our families? You know why? Because deep down inside, we don't want the lack of peace that comes with poverty. It's what drives us. The peace, the desire for peace, I believe is one of the deep-rooted things within a human being. We want it. You listen to people then when they're interviewed on stage and stuff like that, and you know, what do you want? I want world peace. Oh, that there would be world peace. I have news for you. There isn't going to be world peace. Read the Bible. But there is a promise. There is a promise that he whose mind is stayed on me will I keep in perfect peace. He whose mind is stayed on me will I keep in perfect peace. Do all our efforts work to bring peace? They help. There's no question about it. I think the world we live in, you need to make provision for your family. You need to make provision for your health. You need to make provision for when you retire and those kinds of things. But eventually and inevitably, there will be something that will break through this barrier that you have built, this perfect castle that you have built. Somewhere along the line, something will break through that will disturb your peace. Whether it's a pink slip, you get fired all of a sudden. I was talking to somebody who just recently came back to his shop, and they told him his job's done. They gave him a nice severance pay. They had sold his truck, or they're selling his truck, or whatever it is. Said, here I am, 70 years old, and all of a sudden, I don't have a job. I talked to one of Karen's cousins yesterday who was diagnosed with cancer, and he went through treatment and thought everything was good. It was about a year ago, and just recently went for a scan, and they discovered that the cancer had metastasized, was in his lungs, basically gave him a death sentence. He's somewhere in his upper 40s, 50 maybe. You see what I'm saying? No matter how you build, no matter how well you prepare, I don't care what vitamins you take, I don't care how big your bank account is, sometime something will break through and will cause you to not be at peace. But you know what? We have a promise. We have a promise. He whose mind is stayed on me will I keep in perfect peace. Are these things disturbing? Absolutely. Do you lose your faith over them? I hope not. I hope that you are strong enough in the belief that God will provide that perfect peace in the time that you need it. Thousands of years ago, we have one of the earliest books in the Old Testament. We see Job expresses this feeling. Job was a great man. He was prosperous, respected, good health, lots of children. And then one day it all fell apart. His livestock, which were the source of his wealth, were stolen. His sons and daughters, all of them, were killed in a freak accident. He developed a painful, disfiguring illness, and his wife and friends, instead of supporting him, viciously attacked him. In response, Job said this in Job 3:25-26, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, nor I have no rest, for trouble comes." Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that. Maybe you have felt like that in the past, where it feels like everything has fallen apart. It just feels like your children are a mess. You feel like your job is just a dead-end job. You don't enjoy going to work in the morning, and maybe you just feel like like things just aren't right. And maybe you're here this morning, you had a diagnosis of some kind of disease that is not a good, it brings anxiety, or it has the potential to bring anxiety. No peace, no quietness, no rest. I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. We have a promise in God's word. We have a promise that he whose mind is stayed on me will I keep in perfect peace. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God said that? Do you believe it's real? Do you believe that he wants us to experience that peace? Even when the storm is raging, when things are falling apart, when things do not look good, do you believe that he wants you to experience that? Psalms 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And we all know that we live in a very small portion of the world here in Lancaster County that is probably more at peace than many other places in the world as it relates to the things that are happening around the world, where people are being killed for their faith, where there are tornadoes and fires and floods and all those things that would disturb our peace. So I believe the peace that God is talking about is the peace that he talked about in Isaiah 26. Psalms 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. He will speak peace. In general, people fail to find lasting peace because they're looking for it in the wrong place. We think that we can eliminate the sources of pain and conflict, that there will be peace. It is impossible. We simply don't have the ability to control the chaotic forces at work. It don't matter how wealthy, how powerful, how smart, how intelligent you are. You can't stop these things from happening. So the better thing is to prepare your heart for when they do happen. Prepare your heart for when they do happen. Am I standing before God Almighty as the shepherd, as the one who gives and takes it? Who's it, the one who gives life, the one who is in control of everything? The number of times that the phrase fear not occurs in the King James Version of the Bible is 62 times. Fear is not what God desires for his people. If peace truly is what God wants for us, then why do so few people seem to find it? Why do so few people seem to find it, if that's truly what he wants for us? What we need is peace that is not dependent on circumstance. Listen to these verses that describe such a peace. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's life. This life, the world that we live in, this life that we live, we are walking in the shadow of death. It can happen in an instant. It happened on Martindale Road this week in a split second. A young man's life was over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. If your peace is built on the wrong foundation, if it's built on the shifting sands of circumstance, it cannot last. Only if it's grounded in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ will it stand the test of time. Only in Jesus Christ. Peace is a matter of the heart. It's internal, not external. Let me just give you a couple of keys to think about as it relates to this here peace. So the first key is pretty straightforward, is put your trust in God. Seems very simple. We place our confidence in things that can fail us, like organizations, like hospitals, banks, financial institutions, even church. We put our, if we're putting our faith and our confidence and our trust in things that can fail us, then we will be set up to lose that peace. So put your trust in God. It seems, it's really elementary, but it is essential if we are to find that peace. If everyone and everything else fails us, God will not fail us. If everything and everyone else fails us, God will not. He won't. Psalm 27, 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Did Israel have chariots and horses? Absolutely. I'm sure they did. That was the height of their military technology, was horses and chariots, and horses go lame, chariots, they break their wheels, kind of thing. So the verse says, written here in Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 31, 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. I watched a little bit of Newsmax the other night when President Trump met with Putin, President Putin. And they had a formation of fighter jets and a bomber fly over when they got off of the airplanes. A display of force. And I thought about this scripture. Putting our trust in horses and chariots. No. Our trust needs to be in the Lord. Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes or presidents or pastors or husbands or wives. It is better to put our confidence in the Lord. Second key to perfect peace is confess your sin. We all recognize that we have been born sinners and we are saved by grace, and yet there are times that we continue to sin. And I find it somewhat amazing that people that I have met with over the years in my ministry that have admitted that they are sinners and yet will refuse to admit a specific sin. There's blame shifting. All kinds of things that people, they rationalize and make excuses and shift blame. If we are going to be people of perfect peace, then we need to recognize that we have a Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cared enough to die for you and me. He's the one that you can come to. You should not be afraid to confess any sin before Him. He's the one who knows you. He knows the very depth of your being. So this morning, if you're walking around carrying sin that is robbing you of peace, I call you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only, and fall at His feet and tell Him what the problem is. And He can bring peace. He can bring peace. I know it. I've been there. Fall at His feet. Tell Him exactly what's going on. He knows. He's good. He's okay with you. And He will bring that perfect peace. He will bring it to you. Failure to acknowledge sin is spiritually harmful. The third key, to robbing us of perfect peace is the treasure, the right things, putting our treasures in the right places. And I don't need to spend a lot of time here. I think we all know what it is. When we lose peace, when we put our treasures, when our treasures are not in the right places. Treasure the right things. Treasure the right things. If you treasure those things that God has taught, if you treasure the things of God's word, if you teach, if you live the things of God's word, if you seek after, if you go for joy, peace, happiness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, these things, they will go with you to heaven. The good deeds that you have done for other people, they will go with you to heaven. Your barns, your cars, your businesses, your things, your stuff will not. You came here naked, you go out. Maybe the same way, almost. But really, nothing. Nothing. You brought nothing in, you take nothing out, and only what you have done, the treasures that you have stored up in heaven, are the ones that will last throughout eternity. They will be there when you get there. They will be there when you get there. Your stuff won't be. Matthew 6:19-21, familiar scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there's your heart. And when your heart is on your treasure, you're not going to be at peace. You will not be at peace. The fourth key to perfect peace is to pray. Yeah. Yeah, very elementary. Seems like something I should not have to say, right? How often have I struggled with things, wrestled with a decision to make? What is the right thing to do? How do I do this? Well, I'm gonna talk to Chris. I'm gonna talk to Eric. I'm gonna talk to the other Eric. And I'm gonna, you know, I'm just gonna try and get a lot of information, talk to a lot of people, and somewhere in the end, say, oh yeah, I ought to pray about this. Have you been there? Prayer is not an end in itself, but it is a tool, it is a means through which we can find perfect peace. If you're facing something, if you're struggling with something, if there's things going on in your family, in your home, in your work, wherever it might be, I invite you to stop and stand before the Father and say, God, I'm not at peace. I want to experience that perfect peace. Sometimes when you lack peace, it's simply that you haven't prayed. That was me. Sometimes when I lacked peace, it was simply I hadn't prayed. I tried to figure it out. Mind got busy. In the words of C.S. Lewis, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. Let me read it again. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. There is no peace without God. And if you're here this morning and you have not been born again, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no time like now to do that. Because you're living a life that is chaotic and is full of conflict. And the biggest testimony I can give to the time that I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ was the peace that came upon me. And I have allowed that peace to be destroyed at times because I got my eyes off of the Father. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to look at your word. I pray that your anointing would go on the words that have been spoken, that your spirit would protect the message. You are a faithful God, and you keep your promise, and your promise that he whose mind is stayed on me will I keep in perfect peace. That promise, Lord, I claim for this fellowship this morning. You have promised perfect peace. And I pray again this morning, Father, as we go from this place, as we go out, as we touch, rub shoulders with the world around us, Father, that there would be no question that we are people who do experience peace. I pray that you would give us wisdom, Father, to be able to see when there are those things coming into our lives, like the hot air balloon, that are causing our peace to be destroyed. And we are racing to find another way than staying beside the still waters in a green pasture with you, Lord. Father, I pray that as we go from this place, that the world around us, this community, would know that you are God with the interaction. God, I pray for protection on the church, Lord. Again, as I shared earlier, the enemy, we know in the written word that you wrote, Lord, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And Lord, as we face uncertain times, economically, globally, whatever it might be, Lord, maybe it's closer to home, maybe it's within our homes. Lord, teach us, because we're asking for that perfect peace. Help us, Lord, to keep our minds fixed and stayed on you, that we will in no way hinder the work that you want to do. So we give this time, this place, this church, this fellowship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chorister can come and lead us in a song.